It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber once again is out this week. We've got Judy Gibbs filling in. Hey, Judy, let's talk some phonology. What's going on out there?
Hey there, Luke. Yeah, phonology, we don't often mention what that really means, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of tracking the seasons through events in nature. This time of year, it's almost hard to keep up with what's happening. It's all popping up so fast.
Yeah, there's, I suppose there's times of the year that change just a little bit faster than other times. Sometimes we're kind of in some steady hot days of summer. Sometimes we're in those low, maybe we could call them doldrums of winter. But yeah, this is certainly a time of year where phonology really is kind of what people are talking about.
Right. During the winter, of course, we can see what's going on because there's so many tracks in the snow and that kind of thing. But now you have to be more observant because just the tiniest little changes are happening. Like, if you start to look at the plants around your house, you're going to notice the buds are just breaking. And they're just starting to open up to produce leaves or flowers. And those flowers I mentioned last week, I did find some that are already popping, the hazel flowers, those little tiny red ones.
So prediction was spot on, huh?
Yep. And also another very early flowering shrub is our elderberries.
Okay.
And they're a favorite in the woods, too. One of the things that happened this week is yesterday we hit 60 degrees.
And that's a first, right? Or have we hit, we haven't hit 60 already, have we?
I don't think so. I think yesterday might have been the first. And this whole week is going to be 50s, maybe 60 again. And that means our those ponds we talked about last week are going to start to fill up with not just those fairy shrimp, but also amphibians are going to be coming there to start mating and laying eggs.
Yeah.
And one of the first ones we hear in the spring are spring peepers. They're a teeny tiny, about the size of your fingernail, little frog that has suction cups on their toes.
All right.
They can grab and climb up plants.
Kind of a tree frog almost?
Yeah, they are a tree frog.
Okay.
And they're going to start calling like any minute now.
That's a sound that takes me back to my childhood.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, I grew up kind of out in the countryside, and we had some marshlands nearby, and you know, you open up the window at night, and that's what I feel like I fell asleep to most of those summer nights.
Yeah, it can be deafening at times. Another little frog that we're going to start to hear any minute now are wood frogs, which sound like clucking ducks. They're crazy.
Really? How big are these frogs? These must be a little bit bigger than
they're about three times the size of a peeper.
Okay. Well, you're not wrong about that. Yeah, I would definitely go with some sort of waterfowl if I heard that. But that's a frog.
That's a frog. And there's several others that we're going to start to hear. The toads will start, and they sound like a... Well, they make a high trilling sound, which I'm not able to reproduce, but if you know how to roll your R's, that's kind of what an American toad sounds like. Yeah, there you go.
I can do an American toad impression is what you're saying.
Go. Okay. Yes. Also, a lot of people are really thinking about getting into their gardens this time of year because it's been so nice out. But a lot of our pollinators are living inside the stems of plants that are left over from last year. Mm. They overwinter inside stems to protect them from the cold and from predators. So if you can resist the urge to so-called clean up your yard, you're going to really help our pollinating insects. I know I look around in my yard right now and the snow finally all melted and I just so want to get out there, but I know better. I need to wait until at least the end of April, a couple more weeks before I start to clean out my gardens. But I do notice that we have lots of little microclimates in our yards. Some places are south-facing slopes, and they've completely dried out.
Yeah.
And I looked out the front door today and saw all the crocuses coming up and the onions that I planted, the wild onions, and my garlic is starting to pop in the front of the house, where in the back, where it's more of a north-facing slope, there's still a little bit of snow in the upper corners, and there's nothing. It's just still all matted vegetation and that kind of thing. As I walked here today, I heard a Merlin, and that was really fun. I actually heard one yesterday, too. Merlins are a mid-sized falcon, And they're related to kestrels, which are tiny, and kestrels eat mostly insects. The merlins will, when they come into the neighborhood, they have a high screeching sound. I should have queued one up.
I don't think I can do an impression of a merlin. I'm not going to try.
And the places I've been noticing them are where there are white spruce trees, because that's the tree they choose to put a nest in.
Okay.
And one year when I was working for the outdoor program here at UMD, I got to be the camp concessionaire for the Forest Service up at Echo Lake and Jeanette Lakes. And on Jeanette Lake, we had a merlin nest. And it was really fun to be able to do programs at night for the campers and be able to have this merlin doing all of its calls and its flying around and feeding the babies. But I also had an educational kestrel, educational bird, because it had gotten smashed into something, lost its eye, and could no longer fend for itself in the wild. So it lived with me at the campground, and I fed it little mice and everything. But it was so much fun to be able to go with this live bird and then have its cousin, the merlin, flying around in the trees and be able to work with that and invite the campers to come to the programs and check it out.
Huh.
It was pretty cool.
And the merlin, so this is its summer area, kind of in these northlands.
Right.
Where did it just come from? How far south did it get?
Not very far.
Okay.
Because when birds migrate, of course, we have some like fantastic migrators that will go from one pole to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But many birds just go far enough south where they can still find food. Merlins are about the size of a blue jay. And most people know what a blue jay looks like.
Yeah.
So merlins are about that size. They're a dark gray bird, and they have kind of a notch and a hook on their beak so that they can crush through the vertebra of small songbirds or anything else they can catch. And so they'll go south to where there are these small birds who left here because maybe they're insect eaters.
Yeah.
And they migrated south where there's food. And so the merlins are following their food source.
The size surprises me, about the size of a blue jay, and this is encapsulated underneath the raptor category. You
yes.
said this was a falcon?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't know they were that small. They came in that pint size.
And even smaller is the kestrel, it's much smaller than a robin.
Huh.
They're much, based on the different sizes of the falcon family, they eat progressively bigger and bigger things.
Okay.
You know, so they're not competing with each other. The smaller kestrels are eating grasshoppers and moss and insects mostly. And then the merlin's the next size up falcon, and it will go after songbirds or anything else it can catch, essentially. And then, of course, everybody's heard of the peregrine falcon, which will do the big stoop and dive and
yeah.
take ducks out of the air, that kind of thing. I have not yet seen our peregrines back at Gracelawn Plaza.
Okay, because there's that box that's up there at the top. Yeah.
And I was down there last night looking around, and I didn't see it yet. But they should be back any time now. A warbler that we should start seeing soon are pretty familiar to people. It's a very common one called a yellow-rumped, sometimes called butterbutts. It's a tiny warbler, sparrow-sized. It's got streaks on it, and it has this distinctive yellow rump right above its tail. And that should be coming any time now. We should start seeing those.
Judy, really appreciate the time today.
Thanks, Luke.
This has been Backyard Almanac. Once again, that is Judy Gibbs filling in for Larry Weber. You can catch Backyard Almanac every Friday at 8:20 a.m. here on Northland Morning.